This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Skirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking with staff writer Bria about her trip on the Waru Express. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And as we mentioned there, Bria's here with us today. Hi, Bria!
Hi, Bria!
Hello!
So yes, Bria did her Waru Express, and now is the inevitable episode in which we all come together and talk about the highlights, lowlights, and everything in between.
Bria, do you have wine?
No, I decided being sober for the podcast was a good plan.
Okay.
Yes, we will discuss the fun of the visit at the Crystal Star. A little bit of housekeeping. No episode next week. It's a national holiday here in America, so we're going to celebrate.
America.
Happy birthday.
It's the day when people set off fireworks all night and piss Nancy off. I'm going to wave my cane at them and tell them to go to Disney where the fireworks are better.
Just give them the Independence Day speech.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day!
Now go to sleep!
Okay, so yes, no episode next week. We'll be back the week after that. Before we go any further, a word from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link at Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And you can click a new Course of the Force official merchandise. Her Universe just posted these on their Facebook page. And proceeds, I believe, are helping Make-A-Wish. So, yay!
Yay!
Yep, $5 from each tee and $10 from each sweatshirt will go to Make-A-Wish.
So and definitely go check that out. If you get to Her Universe by clicking the link on our blog, we get 10% of the sale, which helps us keep the lights on and pay for silly things like web hosting fees.
Yes.
Always a good thing. Next up, why don't we talk about what's new on the blog? And, well, Nancy, it looks like it's another Bria show this week.
Yes, it is. Bria checked in with 10 spinoff film ideas that she had. And I'm sure we've all had our own ideas of what they could do. But, Bria, I liked your ideas. They were pretty cool.
Thanks. Although I really want an excuse to talk about a Shatterpoint film.
Shall we take a detour into spinoff into this article, because I'm okay doing that.
Sure.
Okay. So Bria, you had 10 spinoff film ideas, and you started off with a Count Dooku film.
I think it would be good. I mean, I mentioned in the article, but if you get the right actor, for example, how they cast as X-Men First Class with younger actors for Magneto and Xavier, you get the right actor, and an origins film would be perfect. And then you get a Christopher Lee cameo, and you're good.
That was a sigh from
Nancy's now thinking of Michael Fassbender playing Count Dooku.
Oops.
No, now I am, because now I'm laughing really loud.
And as you mentioned, Bria, you essentially wrote this entire piece just so you could talk about one book you'd like to see brought over and made a spinoff film.
I did. I'm sorry. Well, no, actually, I'm not that sorry. But no, I think for those of us who have read Shatterpoint, it's not really... I don't think it's one of those... It would be one of those Star Wars films you take all the kids to because it's pretty rough. But
well, it's a Star Wars film that essentially would star Sam Jackson, so...
Exactly. I mean, that's my point, though. I mean, why wouldn't you want it? Whether you do Shatterpoint or you do another Mace Windu film, if he's ready and willing to come back into the role, you take advantage of that. I mean, it's just... You get Mace Windu with his purple lightsaber kicking butt. Easy as that.
So, of course, now we're obligated to ask, what's the Star Wars equivalent of a snake?
What are those things that were in the Death Star?
Dianogas.
I'm tired of these motherfracking Dianogas on my motherfracking space cruiser.
There you go. Done.
I'm tired of these motherfracking Minox chewing on my motherfracking cables.
Also good. There we go.
Oh, we could... One of these days, I'm going to write a top 10 Mace Windu-isms post.
Do it.
We'll do it a la Letterman.
Do it now. Or not now, after we're done.
Later. Yes, after we're done with this. You also mentioned a Mace Windu film, but an Aayla Secura film.
Yes, I want my female Jedi, and I want them to have lines, and I want them to be awesome and have leading roles. So, Aayla.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of that. And I really like your next suggestion, though, adapting Knights of the Old Republic.
I think it would work out well. Someone in the comments said, well, it's a game, so it's optimized for a gameplay. But don't tell me that writers can't find a way to just tweak the plot so you're not, you know, defeating the bad guys in each planet to make it work. It's Revan. It would be amazing. And doubly amazing if you get a female Revan. But hey, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. I think it's been established now that Revan is a canon male. Is that right? Yeah, I know.
It's all
I know.
A lie.
Bria doesn't agree. It's a lie.
It's all a lie.
It's a lie.
That book doesn't exist.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, a lot of these BioWare games do lend itself well on the surface to being to film adaptation. That's why they're probably looking at a Mass Effect film right now, which would be cool. And number six on your list, The New Jedi Order.
Yeah, that one wasn't very specific, but like I said, I mean, I don't really care who they write about. But just as long as they could just take some new Jedi in Luke's order, have them have a cameo from Mark Hamill, and, you know, more Jedi kicking butt.
Yes, Jedi kicking butt. That'd make for a good movie.
I thought so.
And, of course, number seven, the one that I'm pretty sure you just threw on there to make me happy.
Just you.
This is a pilot-friendly podcast. Let's remember that.
Yes, this is true. Rogue Squadron, a Rogue Squadron film.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think we all kind of agree that it would work really well as a TV show. But I mean, if they're going to give us a Rogue Squadron film, I don't think any of us are going to argue.
Nope.
So hey, space battles being awesome, preferably with cameos from Winter and Iella.
Sold. Yeah. And speaking of awesome,
and Mirax.
Yes, and speaking of awesome ladies in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, the Smuggler's Underworld, where we could get someone like Mirax in.
Yep, I mean that's basically what it says on the label. You just have an underworld film, maybe one that focuses on Card. You never know.
Yeah. CD Underworld with a focus on smugglers. I've been wanting that movie and or show for a long time.
Everyone loves pirates, so.
Everyone loves pirates. Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
This one I know can't actually happen, because everyone's too old at this point. But I thought it would be, I always kind of wish that we had gotten a film about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan just running around the galaxy being awesome, because those Jedi Apprentice books, they didn't really cut it for me. But hey, it won't happen, but in my dreams it can happen.
Could be animated.
And finally, the film I think has the most potential. The adaptation of The Crystal Star, The Tale of War.
I was kidding. It was a joke. A bad joke, but it was a joke.
Waru would not be able to be shown on screen. He's too amazing. People would die.
Man, that would be amazing. Worse than one of the throwaway episodes of Stargate in the first season.
It would be like the X-Files episode, Space.
Oh, dear. Well, that this list wasn't the only thing Bria was up to this week. You also reviewed Legacy number 4.
Yes, that came out today. I highly suggest that everyone should read this book or at least pick up the trade when it comes out.
Yeah, I haven't read any of these yet. I'm kind of waiting for the trade on this one. But everything I've read about this series has been very encouraging.
It's been great. Gabriel Hardman's artwork has been one of my favorite things about the book consistently.
Awesome. So, yep, that's what's new on the blog. Bria did a couple things for us. We're hoping to have some more articles up from more of us in the next couple of weeks, but we'll see where that goes. And with that, we're going to slide into Fixer's Flash and discuss the geeky, inane things that we've been up to. And as is tradition, we start with Nancy.
I saw Much Ado About Nothing yesterday.
Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing, which I'm still trying to find a showtime for.
Sorry. But yes, it was playing at our local indie theater, which is also, they also serve food at, so that's kind of cool. And it was very good, which you would expect from Joss Whedon and Shakespeare. Much Ado is my favorite Shakespeare play, so I'm partial to it. But I still think I prefer the Brana version, but only because of, you know, sentimental reasons. And I just love Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson.
It's really hard to top Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson in a film.
Yes. But Alexis Denisov and Amy Acker were really good as Beatrice and Benedict. And we kept laughing at Clark Gregg. And going, so that's what Coulson's been doing. And there are some parts where he dances, and it's really funny. But yeah, who else was in it? Fran Kranz, who was in, what show was he in? Dollhouse?
He was in Dollhouse. Yes. And okay, Cabin in the Woods.
Yes. So Nathan Fillion is Dogberry. Who, you go into the movie knowing Nathan Fillion is playing Dogberry, and you're like, okay, this is going to be fantastic, because that part is hilarious to begin with, and Nathan Fillion is hilarious. But I actually thought that his, like, partner guy was played by Tom Lenk, who was on Buffy, was actually funnier, because he didn't have as many lines, and he was just in the background being hilarious. And when he did have a line, he was so awkwardly funny. And he had this mustache. I just couldn't stop laughing at him. I want to go see it again just to see him be silly. But yeah, there's a scene in which Amy Acker does an amazing fall down the stairs. It's 110% committed to falling down the stairs, and Alexis Denisov rolling around in the yard trying not to be seen while he's eavesdropping on people. And then after he thinks Beatrice loves him, he's in the yard doing stretching exercises and calisthenics to try to, you know, appeal to her.
So is it still jarring to you to hear Alexis Denisov without a British accent?
It actually, I didn't realize it until about 2/3 of the way through. I knew subconsciously that there was something different about his voice, but I just thought he's gotten older since Angel and Buffy. And then I realized, oh, he doesn't have an English accent. And it all became clear.
So Much Ado, worth seeing?
Yeah. Definitely. It's a really fun movie. I still really want to see a modernization of it. like how 10 Things I Hate About You was with Taming of the Shrew, because there are still some ideas on it that are very old-fashioned, but it's a great movie. Go see it. And other than that, I haven't really been doing anything geeky, unless you count wedding planning, which I guess is geeky since we're planning a geeky wedding, but I don't think you want to hear about all of that stuff. It's not very exciting unless you're... Yes. Oh, and also, sorry, I added this today because I read the last installment of Overdraft, which is the second to last installment overall, by John Jackson Miller. If you're not reading it yet, go read it because it's amazing. And every episode, I have to yell at him on Twitter for having a horrible cliffhanger. And today was no exception. It's great. Go read it.
So, yes, and it's still $1.99.
Yeah. And if you wait until not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after that, you'll get all 8 installments at once for $1.99. So you won't have to wait in between installments.
Awesome. So, yes, go pick up a copy while it's still $1.99, because a whole book for $1.99 by John Jackson Miller sounds like a great deal to me.
Yep.
Okay, and before we go on a little too much more, I do want to mention that in today's live stream of this podcast recording, we are giving away a copy of Crucible by Troy Denning. We have a copy here that was graciously provided to us by Random House. To win it, those of you listening live, just join the chat and leave a comment. And at the end of the episode, we're going to throw names into a randomizer and we're going to pick out a winner to get the copy a little bit before it hits bookshelves. So,
yay.
So, yes, leave a comment in the chat and we'll select the winner at the end of the show. As for me, I don't have too much to report on other than I'm reading through an advanced copy of Kenobi right now, and I am 13 chapters in, and this book is just delightful.
I need to read more of it.
Yes, you both need to finish it so I can talk to you guys about it.
Did you finish it already?
I finished it two days after I read Crucible.
God, of course you did.
bit of a palate cleanser.
Oh, you have no idea. It was beautiful.
I am really enjoying this book, and I know I'm only about 35% of the way through it right now, but I think this is shaping up to be a huge fan favorite of a book that's maybe one of the bigger fan favorites of the last 5 or 6 years.
Cool. So see, go read the other John Jackson Miller book that I've been busy reading.
John Jackson Miller doing great stuff in and out of Star Wars.
Yes.
And of course, since Bria is here, we're going to make her do this segment with us. Bria, what have you been up to?
Well, speaking of the book we're giving away, I actually just finished drafting my Crucible review. So you can look forward to that in a couple weeks. And then aside from that, I've started rewatching the Star Wars films because I have this wonderful theory that if you watch the prequel trilogy, read Kenobi, and then watch the original trilogy, it's going to enhance the experience so much more.
God, that's like when I associated Bring Him Home with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Heartbreaking.
Along with empty chairs and empty tables.
For which.
Yeah. Kenobi's a very good book, in case anyone's wondering. I'm looking forward to reading it again soon so I can start writing my review on it. Mm-hmm. And then aside from that, I saw Man of Steel last week and I really liked it. I know Brian said he just thought it was meh, but I enjoyed it.
My problems with it were much more stemming from a cinematography standpoint.
Which makes sense. I remember you guys mentioned something about the shaky cam at the beginning. That was driving me up the wall as well.
It was more the shaky cam at the end that was...
Oh, I didn't notice that as much.
Yeah, I've still got a little bit of a headache from the showing I saw.
Aw. But, yeah, and then aside from that, I am reading a book called A Once Crowded Sky by Tom King.
I heard about that.
it's like a superhero book. It's the idea is, what if, you know, all these superheroes, all of them gave up their powers to defeat this one bad guy, bad thing. It's very interestingly written so far. I'm actually taking my time reading a book for once. But it's good. So I might try and write a review of it once I finish it.
Awesome. So yes, that's Fixer's Flash, geeky things we've been up to and are boring you with, and let's get to something a little less boring. Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom, and we start off with quite a bit of Expanded Universe news, actually.
Yes, well, Mercy Kill is now out in paperback.
Hooray!
So, yay! We are, as Bria said, we're a pilot-friendly podcast, so... if you have not yet read Mercy Kill, now it's in paperback, so go get it. And even if you have read it, possibly go pick up a paperback version, too.
Because it'll look good next to your other 9 X-Wing novels.
Brian, are you getting this one?
Yes.
We have to figure out what we're going to do with our duplicate copies of books.
Yes, Nancy and I right now are consolidating our book libraries.
Because I don't want to give up mine.
I don't want to give up mine. I have a sentimental attachment to them.
Have two bookshelves, kids. It'll be okay.
No, I think we need actually 3 or 4.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat asked us, when is Kenobi coming out? Anyone got the release date on that?
I believe it's August.
August 27th, maybe?
That sounds right. August 27th. Let me look that up real quick.
27th, yes.
Okay. August 27th.
Yep.
And moving on, Razor's Edge, the Leia novel in the Empire and Rebels series, is moving up a week. It's now going to be releasing September 24th. So hooray! Yay!
I need it right now.
I am so excited for that book. That and Kenobi were the two books for the last half of the year I was most excited about.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
So, how did Jen Heddle describe the manuscript of it she'd read?
I think she used the word like swashbuckling, or said something with pirates.
Pirates, swashbuckling, and Leia. Sold.
Excellent.
Mara likes the idea of a Leia novel.
And for those of you listening to the podcast for the first time, that would be Mara in the background. Mara, the show mascot, Mara the dog.
Not Mara Jade is looking forward to a Leia book, although she probably is, because she's dead now. This is Mara, my dog.
And moving on, Knight's Archive spotted a blurb for Darth Maul Lockdown.
Can I read it?
Absolutely, you can.
I love reading these. Okay. Let me crack my knuckles. Right. Set before the events of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, this new novel is a thrilling follow-up to Star Wars, Darth Plagueis. It's kill or be killed in the space penitentiary that houses the galaxy's worst criminals, where convicts face off in gladiatorial combat while an underworld gambling empire reaps the profits of the illicit blood sport. But the newest contender in the savage arena, as demonic to behold as he is deadly to challenge, is fighting for more than just survival. His do-or-die mission, for the dark masters he serves, is to capture the ultimate weapon, an object capable of obliterating the Jedi and conquering the galaxy. Sith Lords Darth Plagueis and Darth Sidious are determined to possess the prize, and one of the power-hungry duo has his own treacherous plans for it. But first, their fearsome apprentice must take on a bloodthirsty prison warden, a cannibal gang, a cutthroat crime lord Jabba the Hutt, and an unspeakable alien horror. No one else could brave such a gauntlet of death and live. But no one else is the dreaded dark side disciple known as Darth Maul.
Darth Maul Lockdown will be out on January 21st. Oh, that certainly sounds interesting. Sorry, yes. I've completely derailed the podcast, as I often do.
A little bit.
Just a bit.
That remind me of James Order Taylor's Use Only as Directed.
Use Only as Directed. If you ever have the chance to go see James Arnold Taylor's voice acting show, you need to go see it.
Yeah. Yes.
So, Darth Maul lockdown, January 21st. Certainly sounds interesting. If all that appeals to you, consider placing a pre-order for it.
Mm-hmm.
And tangentially related to the expanded universe, you can kickstart a cool short story anthology featuring names like Aaron Alston, Mike Stackpole, and Timothy Zahn, as well as some friends of the blog, Brian Young and Janine Spendlove.
Yes, and they are actually funded and getting into their stretch goals, some of which include extra stories by Stackpole and Zahn. So, go support it.
Yes, and the Timothy Zahn short story, if they hit that stretch goal, is a story that has not seen publication since 1988, I believe.
Yes. They posted the cover on on his Facebook page. So.
Yes, definitely go check that out. Kick in a couple bucks, and you guarantee yourself a copy of the book, and you get to help launch a really cool short story anthology featuring work by a lot of great writers.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in the news, congratulations are in order.
Yes! Our Uncle George got married!
Yay, Uncle George!
Woo! He married Melody Hobson, his longtime love, at Skywalker Ranch over the weekend, and we wish them a lifetime of happiness. So she's our Aunt Melody now?
Yes, she is Aunt Melody now. The world you've brought yourself into, Melody Hobson.
Did you see that article on The Onion?
The article that said George Lucas still hiding, he works in new digital media.
Yeah, he's too embarrassed. That was funny.
Oh, fantastic. So, yes, that's the news this week. Not a whole lot since we recorded on Friday last week, but hopefully the next time we get together, there'll be a little bit more stuff to talk
about. They're going to announce, stuff about Episode 7 while we're not doing a podcast.
They would do that to us, wouldn't they? Well, of course they did. They announced J.J. Abrams was directing the movie while we were on a boat.
Car and I still haven't forgiven you for that.
That story still makes me laugh because I just sat upright and went, oh my god, J.J. Abrams is directing Episode 7. And Brian just looked at me like, you're kidding me. And I'm like, nope, it's right up there on the TV.
We were joking about that on the drive to the to the cruise ship.
We were.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and slide into the discussion topic of the week, Cammy's concerns, and this week, we've got Bria here, which means we're looking back on the Waru Express.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo!
I really need a soundboard for this show.
Why do you need a soundboard? Just use me.
So, the Waru Express. Bria, why don't you start by telling us what was the Waru Express?
The Waru Express was my horrible idea to reread 130 of the Expanded Universe books in 7 months. Don't do it.
Don't do it, kids. So what was your inspiration for this idea, Bria?
It is all Brian's fault. I would like to point that out right now. I don't remember exactly how it came up, but I think, we were all talking on Twitter one day, as we do almost every day, because we had nothing better to do but talk on Twitter. And someone mentioned something about their Star Wars books, and it made me run upstairs and take a picture of my bookshelf, which I have one entire bookshelf of Star Wars books, and it's a huge bookshelf. And I said something along the lines of, I have all these or something. And then somehow, I still don't know how this happened. I think I said, wouldn't it be funny if I reread them all? And Pirate Captain Brian over there said, you should blog about it. And that was enough of a challenge. So
Now, in fairness to me, when I said that, I didn't think you'd actually reread all of them.
I can't back down from a challenge like that. That's my problem.
All right, Barney Stinson.
I haven't even reread the New Jedi Order.
This is the second time I've reread them in 2 years, I think, actually. Because I reread them summer of 2011.
The New Jedi Order books, not the entire yes. Waru Express.
Oh, gosh, no. No, I'm not that crazy.
Okay, so you foolishly accepted this challenge. And yeah. started reading through these books. So what was the criteria for the books you were going to read?
Basically, it was that I had to read every book that I owned on my bookshelf, which was about 100. I think it was 100 at the time. I managed to pick up some cheap copies of Young Jedi Knight books, and of course, Scoundrels came out while I was publishing it, while I was doing the project. So every book that I read, I had to reread. And then for the other books, I figured, why not take advantage of doing this project and read some of the books that I had meant to read in the past that came out during the time when maybe I wasn't reading Star Wars books as often, like the Darth Plagueis book and others. And then to also reread some of the books that I hadn't read in ages and that just appealed to me, or that someone challenged me into in one particular case.
And which particular case was that?
Its namesake, the Crystal Star.
The Crystal Star. Speaking of its
which,
namesake, yes, how did we get the name for this crazy project?
Well, a friend of mine, I was talking to her, name is Mandy, and saying, I need to come up with a name, like, because I was going to post a master list and say, here, I'm starting this project, and I didn't know what to call it. So she just starts throwing out names, and one of them was Woo Woo All Aboard the Waru, followed by you can use the hashtag Waru Express. So I sort of said okay. And as for the Crystal Star being red, someone on this podcast still owes me a reread of Revenge of the Sith.
Well, yeah, after he moves here, I'll sit him down and make him read it.
I think you should make him live blog it.
Yes.
That'd just be hours of me sobbing grossly into my hand.
I mean, what do you think I did for the Crystal Star?
I can read it to you in my reading voice.
That would probably make it even worse for me.
This is how Anakin Skywalker feels forever.
Oh, dear. Someone in the chat suggests Bria needs to read the Marvel Chicklet books.
No.
I actually, I'm thinking we need to live stream this experience.
No. My liver cannot handle that.
Come on. The She-Hulk Diaries? You know, that's begging to be live streamed.
Have me. No. Since I actually read Chicklet books.
Yeah.
I reread one.
And I'm not spending the money on those books either. Sorry, it's not happening.
What if I buy them?
No.
Brian, you can't keep buying things for people to make them read horrible books.
But the results are fantastic.
No.
Okay.
Jedi Prince books on my bookshelf mean anything.
You were so excited about that when I bought those for you.
I was, and I learned my lesson.
I'm not going to lie, I was very happy that before I started the project, I gave my 4 Jedi Prince books to my younger cousin.
Aww.
I was saved.
I'm disappointed we didn't get to see you go through that pain.
Nope. There were some books that it was more than enough.
So why did you decide to go with chronological order versus publishing order?
It seemed to be the easiest thing to do because I wasn't really... I didn't really want to have to, you know, get through the Bantam era and then go, okay, crap, what do I read now? In what order? Because yeah, there's a publishing order, but I didn't really want to go from, New Jedi Order with, you know, Agents of Chaos or something to Shatterpoint to, I don't even remember what else was coming out during that time. It seemed more cohesive to me to read them chronologically.
I think chronological or publishing order works good if you separate it by era. So, like, if someone was just reading the post-Return of the Jedi books, I would tell them, read it in publication order. But if you're reading the entire EU, I would say probably chronological is the best for your brain.
Yeah. I mean, if I was just doing the Bantam era, I probably would have read, or post-Return of the Jedi, won't count Shadows of Mindor. I probably would have read the Thrawn trilogy and then gone from True Sith Ikura through Hand of Thrawn.
Mm-hmm.
But for now.
Yeah, well, that reasoning definitely makes sense. You probably get a whole lot of era and mood whiplash if you were doing it in publication order through the entirety of the expanded universe's run.
Yeah.
So I guess we can get in and talk about the actual books themselves now. What was your highlight going through this whole process?
Starfight is Vadimar.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that one there.
Yeah, that one, Shatterpoint was another high point. I was thinking about it, actually. Hold on, I made a list the other day. My top five favorite books in the Expanding Universe are Shatterpoint, Starfight is Vadimar, Revenge of the Sith, Solo Command, and Lightsabers. So those were all definitely ones that I was like, yes, yay, I'm here. But those were also all books that I had read before. As far as books that I hadn't previously read or that I had sort of forgotten were any good, I really liked Annihilation, which is one of the Old Republic books, the newest one, actually. And I really, really liked Darth Plagueis. So kind of in that same thread, Cloak of Deception and Labyrinth of Evil were also quite good. So basically, I really just... I rediscovered my love for James Luceno and his political writing books. So.
And your lowlights?
Oh, there were so many. No, actually, that's not fair. Lowest of the low was Crystal Star, followed closely by
Now,
Darkness.
Was it actually Crystal Star, or was it what was going on around you while you were reading Crystal Star?
It was all of it. When I returned that book to the library, I put a post-it note in there about halfway through that said, "Turn back while you still can."
And in hope, all ye that enter here.
Yeah. It was worse than I remembered. I don't know how that's possible. But no, that was pretty bad. Dark Nest was... It was easy to see why I only read those books once previously. Other little lights. The Revan book, because the more I thought about it, the more I disliked it. Splinter of the Mind's Eye was another book that helped fund the alcohol industry in my state. And Jedi Trial wasn't very good, unfortunately. I keep forgetting that.
Oh, man. Every time I think of Splinter of the Mind's Eye, I can't help but think it's like when I'm watching a bad comedy movie and the comedy revolves around awkward humor and putting characters in awkward situations, and I get such terrible secondhand cringe that I want to curl up under the table and cower from the universe.
There is a picture on the post I did about Splinter of the Mind's Eye where I am under the table with my glass of wine.
I remember that picture.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that was a great picture. We should turn that into a macro meme of some sort.
No.
Okay. No. So, surprises in your read-through.
I don't know. One of the things was I forgot that I actually really do like the majority of the books that were written in the prequel era slash the during that Clone War, during the Clone Wars, because there's actually some pretty good gems in there. Like I said, Jedi Trial isn't that great, and Zess's Deception is just okay, but the rest of them are pretty darn good.
So more good prequel era books than you remembered.
Yeah, I think it's just because I'm not as much of a prequel era fan, so you kind of just don't really realize it until you sit back and you go, oh, Rogue Planet's delicious, though. So don't read that one.
Were there any books that you didn't get around to reading on this that you wish you could have?
Actually, now that I've read Annihilation, which I read so I could to review for the podcast, or it's not the podcast, but the blog, it just happened to line up perfectly with the Waru. I would probably go back and read the other Old Republic books just to see how they are and how they stand up. I would probably consider rereading the New Rebellion.
The New Rebellion.
Yeah, I haven't read that since I was 13 or 14, probably. What else? I would not consider reading Black Fleet Crisis. Again.
Yes, Brandon in the chat asks, why didn't Bria read my favorite books, The Black Fleet Crisis?
Troll. Troll in the chat.
How many times were you asked that during the course of this run?
I don't even know. And it drove me crazy because on the master list, I literally say, there are some very notable exceptions that I just will not reread. Cough, Blackfeet, cough. However, feel free to try and bribe me into reading them. I don't know how much clearer I could have been than that. I might have reread the Callista trilogy. And then
don't do that.
Well, I haven't read them in a while, so you know. Well, I feel like I just remember another book that I might have considered reading. Maybe more of the Tales From books, but I wasn't sure I could get them from the library. So yeah.
There's some good short stories in there.
Yeah, I actually picked up a cheap copy of Tales from the New Republic at a convention. So eventually I'll get around to rereading that one.
You know, Bria, I'm thinking we might make a quick change to the rules about who's going to win this copy of Crucible.
Why?
You should hand it to whoever in the chat amuses you or annoys you the most.
Hmm. That's interesting.
We'll consider that. speaking of people in the chat, Nut asks, are there books you liked more than you remembered and hated more than you remembered?
If it's possible, I hated Dark Nest even more. I don't know how that was possible, but I just...
I was going to ask you about that. You really struggled reading through the Dark Nest trilogy again. Do you think part of that is because you've got all of this additional context afterwards, Legacy of the Force, Fate of the Jedi. So you've got these other Denning books and stories that just take off from Dark Nest. Did that factor into any of the annoyance in retrospect?
I think that's something I definitely realized while I was rereading those books. I think it's something I think I noted in talking about the Swarm War is that Swarm War is where... It's where for me the Jedi Order just kind of trips and falls flat on its face because Luke says something. He calls everyone together and says, Okay, hey guys, you need to put the Jedi Order first and foremost. If not, get out. And for me, that just, I probably didn't notice it as much at the time because, you know, you don't know what's coming. But the fact that, you know, Tennel Ka has effectively been kicked out of the Jedi Order, that anyone else who doesn't, you know, who maybe puts their allegiance to the Galactic Alliance first is now kicked out of the Jedi Order.
Danny leaves and goes to Seacot, which always struck me as Denning's way of getting her out of the picture because I really liked her.
I mean, it all just felt very... When you go back, it's very much not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That trilogy is so tough because it set the expanded universe on a path that I've really struggled with over the last few years, And
a path we can't follow.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you. And I, if I'm being cynical, it took everything that was interesting about Luke's Jedi Order and throwing it out the window.
Exactly.
And there was a replay of Revenge of the Sith from R2-D2.
Yeah, that was like a pattern in the books. I noticed, not that I necessarily saw it from publication order, but in the books from base that were published basically from like 2000 to 2006, you get all these replays, and I'm just like, why do we feel the need to all of a sudden continuously reference crap that happened? We haven't referenced it before. Granted, we didn't know about it before, but why must we do this now? No one cares. Well,
yeah,
maybe someone cares, but not me.
Yeah, and go back to one of your other points. I really did not like how Luke suddenly out of nowhere says, "You will put the Jedi Order first, or you're out."
Yeah.
All of those Jedi were more interesting when they were Jedi and a politician. Jedi and a military pilot. Jedi and X.
Exactly. And you can't... I think part of it happens because we got more information about the old Jedi Order. And then... So I guess people felt the need... Authors felt the need to try and make the new Jedi Order like the old Jedi Order, not recognizing that that was the problem. That's part of the reason why the old Jedi Order fell.
Yeah.
So, another question out from the chat. Zethy asks, any moments that went over your head when you were younger that you picked up on now as you were reading through the expanded universe?
Oh, definitely. I've talked about this before, but I actually really love Kevin J. Anderson's contributions to the expanded universe for the most part. And I feel no need to apologize for it, because he's the reason. I thank him every time I see him at Dragon Con, because his YJK books are a reason why I'm an expanding universe fan. But I definitely didn't pick up on the Ackbar and Winter subtext that was going on.
Ackbar.
I mean, for me, I read it at the time as they just happened to be very good friends. And I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears even now and go, la, 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 la. They're just very good friends because she's with Tycho. So, you know, that's how I resolved that one. Aside from that, I don't think I necessarily missed any others, because a lot of these weren't out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So
you can say what you want about the Hand of Thrawn duology. I love them, but at the very least, you have to concede there was a great retcon there to deal with Ackbar. Just throwing that out there.
Yep. Hold on. I didn't answer part of Nut's question before.
Oh, yes.
Whether books I liked more. Shadow of the Empire. I forgot how much I like that, because I haven't read it in ages. I know Nancy doesn't like it, but I forgot that I really liked it
because I don't really remember it, to be fair.
It's enjoyable. I mean, it's not one of those books that really you have to sit there and think about it, but it's a fun story, even though it features, you know, Han Solo Light, but Leia kicks Zai, whatever the heck his name is, in the balls. It's great. How can you not love it?
I just can't get over that book essentially features Diet Han Solo.
I wave it off, though. He was much more annoying in Shadow Games.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true.
Which was probably one of the bigger disappointments for me when I was reading through the books. I forgot how much I love the Han Solo trilogy, too. But, sorry, I derailed that. My bad.
You assume, you talk like we've never derailed this show before.
Well, you know, might as well pretend to apologize.
You had all this time to go through this 100-plus books, and you got to see a lot of ideas, characters, and plots, and you saw a lot of things get developed, but were there things that fell off the table in your mind, stuff that you wish the authors had just gone back and fleshed out?
I have so many.
I have an epic list of books and short stories I would love to see, and I'm sure Nancy will agree with me when I say I want to see Stackpole's take on what Mara Mirax did to get arrested.
High five.
But aside from that, one of the things I think they really should have done is they should have followed up on Stover's Shatterpoint and written that story where Nick Rostu is serving as Mace's aide in the army of the New Republic, or sorry, Old Republic, whatever Republic. I think that we should have gotten more X-Wing novels. There was some political stuff I would have loved to see more of, whether it be Old Republic or New Republic or on Hapes, because who doesn't love good political stuff on Hapes? And speaking of Hapes, I'm still really sad that they canceled Blood Oath, because that could have been amazing. I think besides that, though, I think that the next generation from the X-Wing books, I think that they've been underused. They've just sort of been side characters for the most part that Alston uses. And the rest of them, they're just kind of left behind. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to tell stories with them.
You know, I'd agree. That's one of my biggest criticisms of the expanded universe since the end of the New Jedi Order. When the New Jedi Order ended, there was this great stable of young, new characters that could be used in these future narratives. And then we either shoved them to the side, threw them on the bus, or killed them. And we just have this increasingly aging cast of characters that's really threatening our suspension of disbelief.
I mean, if you think about it, as of now, I mean, I'm guessing because we never got like a firm year, but like saying the timeline is 44 ABY, like Doran Tainer is probably 31 and we've barely seen him.
Oh my God.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, and she's 31. Sile is 27 now. And we've only really seen her in those couple Legacy of the Force books.
She is as old as Wedge was in the Wraith Squadron books.
Yup. I mean, Valen's 20 is 31 as well. Gisela's 28, I think. I mean, granted, the Horn siblings did get some, unfortunately, painful leading roles in Fate of the Jedi, but I mean, there's just so much opportunity. I miss it. Bring them forward.
I'm going to say one of my biggest annoyances, and this is just a pet annoyance, and I've said this from the first episode of this podcast, why have they not dealt with the Antilles family and the Fell family?
It's a shame.
Great story there. But nope, just fell off the table.
They could pick up the Antilles story if they write another Rey Squadron book. I'm just saying.
Just saying, you know, that book was, a New York Times bestseller.
Yep.
So, yes, throwing that out there. You can run with that if you want to. So, is there anything in the Expanded Universe you wish was there but just isn't? Essentially, I'm giving you free reign to say, I want this book.
I would like a new Revan book that I want that old one erased from continuity and I would like one preferably with a female Revan, but I will live if we don't get one. I don't like that old Revan book the more I think about it. Gosh. More Hapes, more Dathomir. Actually, I would really love to see a book about Tenel Ka. Maybe set between the New Jedi Order and Dark Nest, where you see her sort of settling in and figuring out how to be a queen after she spent so many years of her life running away from her royal, from having to be a princess and those responsibilities. No more Jax Pavin books.
How many of those have we gotten?
Four.
We've gotten four of those and one X-Wing novel over the last decade.
Yep. One and three weren't too bad, but two and four just drove me up the wall.
I think I think your review of the fourth book might be the most critical review we've got on the blog right now of anything we've done.
For now.
There's some foreshadowing for you.
I felt bad writing it because despite me snarking a lot during these books, I really do love the vast majority of them, or at the very least, I enjoy them. I mean, out of the 100-ish books that I own and had to reread for the project, there's maybe, Darkness, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, that one Agents of Chaos book, six out of 100 that I don't at least somewhat enjoy. Even though I snark a lot, I do enjoy them for the most part. And I like to think that I'm probably more of the, I'm one of the more positive and sort of, you know, just roll with it, Expanded Universe readers. But I just, that book, Last Jedi, and I did not get along.
I was reading through that review. I haven't read the book yet because I hadn't read the last one or two preceding it. But, oh, it just looked like a book that had so many wasted opportunities.
Basically. And a lack of female characters.
Yeah.
Actually, I can segue that. I would love to see more leading female characters. And I think even though Into the Void wasn't a part of the Wauru, I think that was a great step forward because you had a female character who, it was clearly her book. And she wasn't in any sort of, she wasn't there to be a love interest to anyone, or she didn't really have any love interest where, I mean, I'm not opposed to there being romance in Star Wars, but you never, if a woman's in a leading role, she almost always has some sort of love interest. You never get to see her just kick some butt like the male characters, like Jaden Carr did in the Paul Kemp duology. And I think that was a nice refreshing change, and I would be happy to see more of it.
So more leading ladies.
Yes, please.
I can get behind that request.
Yep.
So Wauru Express, 100 plus books. You survived.
130. let's get all of them in there.
130 books. 35 retrospective posts, excluding the introduction post and the conclusion post.
Yep.
That was a massive undertaking.
And I did it in less than 7 months.
yeah.
Someone buy the woman a drink.
Or 12.
Next time I see you, I'm pretty sure I'm obligated to buy you a drink.
Yes, yes, you are. Because, I mean, I feel like everyone who watched the Crystal Star live stream owes me a drink.
Everyone in the chat, if you watch that live stream, you owe Bria a drink. Okay?
If you would like to expand on what happened in the live stream, I go for it. I'm not going to embarrass myself further. But
So any parting thoughts from this whole experience?
Don't read a really awful Star Wars book and drink and live stream yourself doing it. There's a lot of very good books out there. I think it pays to break out of your comfort zone sometimes. Because I was never really, except for the KOTOR game, I never really liked the really, really old Republic stuff, but I found out that I really liked Annihilation. So that was good. I guess just try and go into things with as much of an open mind as you can. And if you get stuck in some sort of this book is terrible rut, just push through it because you never know what books might be waiting you on the other side. And I think that's it.
Fantastic. So I can't thank you enough for doing this huge retrospective. It was an incredibly popular running feature on the blog, and a lot of readers really enjoyed it.
I'm glad. I'm glad that my random ramblings at times didn't just make people run away.
Quite the contrary. We got a pretty sizable bump in the regular viewership after that.
I do what I can.
All right, so that's Cammy's Concerns this week, a look back at the Waru Express. And with that, we're going to move into a segment we call Ask Us Anything, where we solicit questions and we're forced to answer them. Those of you in the chat, you got a couple of seconds here to get your questions into us. And we, like we said, we'll answer them. But we've got one question here from James. James of Club Jade, who asks, Hapes or Hapes?
It's Hapes. It's not a space disease. Come on.
Hapes, venereal disease.
I've always thought that Hapes sounds like a,
a venereal disease?
Yeah. Yes, I always have.
Oh, that's what they teach. That's what they teach students during sex ed at primary school in the galaxy far, far away.
Avoid the Hapes.
Avoid the Hapes.
No, it's Hapes. It's Hapes, guys. Come on. It rhymes. It goes so much better with the flow when you think of Courtship of Princess Leia, when they're singing Hapes, Hapes, Hapes softly.
Oh, I should have asked you your thoughts on Courtship of Princess Leia while we were doing that. Oh, that book. One more question. If there were a tiger beat in the Star Wars universe, who would you put on the cover?
Kyle Katarn
on the cover of Tiger Beat.
No, he's not young enough. Probably Ben Skywalker nowadays. I'm trying to think of who it would be earlier.
I don't know how I feel knowing that Ben's old enough to be featured on the cover.
Yeah. Let me see. During YJK.
Pretty boy would totally be on the cover.
But before he blew up.
We're missing the obvious one.
Oh.
Face Loran.
Yes.
Yes. Duh. Of course he'd be on Tiger Beat.
Oh, Face.
Okay. We've got a book to give away.
Cornhorn would think he should be on Tiger
Beat. Of course Cornhorn would think he'd be on the cover.
Oh, Corn.
And then there'd be this grumbling that he wasn't on the cover, and Merrick would have to be, whatever you say, love,
And Tycho would just be standing in the background, shaking his head and going, no.
No. All right. We got a book to give away. We've got a copy of Crucible here provided to us by the great folks at Random House. How are we going to give this one away? Are we going to do this how we originally said at the top? We'll just give it away in a randomizer? Or are we going to let Bria select someone to give it to since she had to endure the Waru Express?
I mean, no one in the chat did a particularly good job of trolling. I mean, you didn't work for it, guys. Come on.
Challenging them.
I'm very disappointed. They could have trolled me so much more easily, and then Brandon went for the easy, why didn't you read Black Fleet Crisis? Come on.
Step it up, Brandon.
Gold star, y'all didn't even try.
Didn't even try. All right, so a randomizer.
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and pull up random.org, where I get to throw names into a randomizer. This is exciting podcasting right here as I type names into
a... There's a late attempt by bringing up Mission to Mount Yoda. Too little, too late.
That's when you troll Nancy.
That's true.
Oh, dear. And the winner is, drumroll please, James gets our copy. James gets our copy of Crucible. So James,
already have one?
Yeah. The question first is, do you already have a copy? I know you're writing for Club Jade. By that reaction, I'll say no. So fantastic. Congratulations, James. Our email address
Joy
is
Crucible.
Enjoy. Our email address is staff.tashistation@gmail.com. shoot us an email with your address, and I will get that shipped out to you as soon as I can. So congrats, and thanks everyone who listened in. I know I was bribing you all to listen in today, but I thank you anyways. And with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. And hey, an hour or so, a reasonably timed show. That's unusual for us. Ray, this episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Head over to the blog, check out the links there, and help us keep the lights running. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Ridney, LaneWinree. Bria is at Chaos Bria. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will see you all again in 2 weeks. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.